Hello. Welcome to the August 10th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. What's so funny?
It's like, when did this become Mousetrapiece Theater?
My name is Doobie, and I'll be your host today. And joining me today, our fanboy.
Hi. Hello! Making up for the lack of enthusiasm Doobie has today, Mr. New Age.
There's no lack of enthusiasm, just on a nice even keel. Rebecca?
Hello.
And Captain John.
Yarr, mateys. How was that?
That was fabulous, Captain.
Better than Doobie.
As always, like to hear from you. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866, there goes my pen, 718-9408, or post a message in the Laughing Place section. Nope, in the Laughing Place podcast section of the laughingplace.com discussion boards. As I said, this is the August 10th edition of the LP podcast. Just a reminder that High School Musical 2 premieres 1 week from today. 7 days from today, 168 hours, give or take, from right now.
So. What time would that be?
What time is it?
Summer time.
And that's the good news. But the even better news is Disney has been listening to all of our... What's the word?
Are you sure this is better news? You
know. Wishes.
All of our wishes, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our desires for even more magic. And they've come back to us and said, guys, we heard you loud and clear, and this is what we've got in store.
I hear that that's actually, you know, they market it as well, they want to, people want more, so they're making that dream come true as well. I hear what really happened, the reason this is really extended, is Goofy was in charge of setting the end date, and he made a mistake.
You'd think they would have learned from the last time they let him be in charge of the Main Street Electrical Parade closing date.
Oh, I wore that watch this week. Anyway, in case you didn't figure out what we're talking about, the fabulous Year of a Million Dreams marketing campaign has been extended for one more year. Making, how long is the celebration going to be before this is all said and done?
12 plus 12 plus 3, 27 month
celebration. Wow. Only something really special could warrant such a long celebration. Not Walt's 100th birthday, not the 50th anniversary of Disneyland, but a wildly successful marketing campaign.
I just came back from the Magic Kingdom, and as part of the Year of a Million Dreams pre-parade, they do a song. They have the Cinderella Castle Suite and Grand Marshal's, you know, parade down in the Main Street vehicles, and the song goes by, and it goes, dream on and on and on, dream on and on, Disney dreams. I'm like, yep, they're dreaming on and on and on.
Now, here's a question. When people enter the park, do they know this is going on, or is this just due to the effects of what's going on? That people's like people are receiving well to the dreams or whatever. But do people actually go in? And it's like I want my dream to be fulfilled. I mean, I'm just wondering how.
It's,
how it works.
It's interesting. It's an interesting thought. Is the marketing campaign more of it gets people to come, or is it more of because of the experience people have when they go home, they themselves become the marketing campaign?
Right.
Because wow, I was so cool. I was standing in line, and this group of people came over, and they gave me, you know, a free ice cream or fast pass or whatever. Because I'm amazed, even the I'm really surprised at how well received even the smallest items have been when I've seen it happen. I mean, it's not happened to me, so I can't speak to personal experience.
I almost want a pin lanyard.
Oh, that'd be cool. I wouldn't mind winning something, but you know, it hasn't happened.
But nothing.
Well, you're just not at the magical place at the magical time.
I think that means you're not in the theme parks earlier in the day, because I think they tend to be more morning heavy.
Yes, they are. Because
I'm heavy all day long.
Can you imagine winning the Dream Fast Pass at 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah, that'd be
woohoo!
It could be good the next day. But
it's not.
Okay, so,
do you think that they're going to come up with a new big dream? I mean, because Cinderella Castle has been the big one this year, you know,
right.
The super dream, as it were. And also, my other question for the panel here is, in the article that was reporting this, they said that they're at like 825,000 dreams, and they expect to hit a million sometime next month.
So do you
expect an Uber dream next month for that millionth dream awarded?
I think according to sweepstakes rules, the millionth dream has to be completely random, and it could very well just be a giant chocolate chip cookie.
I heard, well, you know, they talked about there being new wrinkles in the campaign. Obviously, Cinderella Castle Suite will go on because that's gets a lot of buzz, but I think Disneyland with item 3 happening on our little itinerary of
the closing of the gallery.
Yeah, I think that might be the new Mickey Penthouse, because that gets no play. Nobody cares about the Mickey Penthouse.
Really?
Yeah, at least I don't.
No, I don't hear a lot of lot of stuff about it.
Rebecca and I were trying to think, is there, I mean, honestly, I don't think turning the Disney Gallery into some inside the park apartment is anywhere near as, it's going to seem anywhere near as cool as doing the same thing in Cinderella Castle.
Right.
Is there anything that could, any dream, realistic dream you can think of that would be comparable to a night in Cinderella Castle? I mean, something they could do on a regular basis, not like a, you know, one-time trip to all five parks or something.
Right.
I mean, we really couldn't think of anything at all.
We're trying to think of something that would be not cost prohibitive. Because, I mean, Cinderella Castle is not really cost prohibitive. They have the space. You're dealing with your labor. But, you know, other than that, you know, the guest is there. They go in that room instead of the room they were going to be in. No big deal. Yeah. But I was trying to think of something.
Three on three in the Matterhorn.
I was just about to say
basketball.
That.
That would be great.
There you go.
Or slide down the, or be Tinkerbell for a day. I know that would go over well. I mean, the whole random thing could really throw that off.
It's funny because you'll see people like pick with like it's the Price is Right or something, like pick me to sleep in the castle, and you're like, well, if you're right place, right time, having that sign is not helping you.
Do they wear like T-shirts?
Yeah,
it's a I love you castle giveaway person.
Yeah,
and please
and they bring their dog and they have it.
Yeah, get Pluto spayed or neutered.
Yeah,
cool. I hear Drew Carey's gonna start giving them away.
Yeah, but. Do you hear the new thing about The Price is Right with him being the host?
No.
It's going to have 3D audio.
You must live.
I hear it's going to sound dangerous.
And there'll be very odd periods of absolute darkness.
Tell me there is some FCC regulation requiring them to remove sounds dangerous now that Drew Carey is going to be doing The Price is Right.
No. Well, wait, I thought that Mickey Mouse was going there.
No, Mickey Mouse is going to the...
To the hat.
Hat or animation.
He only goes there for Star Wars weekends.
Yes. Mercy.
I remember we took the two of our friends came from California. They posted on the boards as Ursula and Buzz Lightstack, and we took them to Sounds Dangerous. They'd never been. We didn't tell them anything about it. Didn't oversell. Didn't undersell. Just said, you know, here it is. It's a Disney attraction, and because it's a Disney attraction, you must do it. And went to Sounds Dangerous, and when we walked out, I think it was Buzz who said, I'm not sure what just happened. Remember they both had this?
Oh, yeah. I still have that reaction every single time.
They just seem so confused. What exactly was that? It was pretty funny.
Well, so we're unanimous, the four of us, that the extension of the Year of a Million Dreams is four more dreams coming true, right?
No. I mean, and it's not. First of all, I don't like the marketing campaign to begin with, but... That being said, it's popular,
party
so
pooper.
Fair. No, but it's exciting to get the new marketing campaign or celebration or whatever. See, the Year of a Million Dreams was supposed to kickstart the Where Dreams Come True campaign. And then after that, there was supposed to be something new. Well, I guess they can do something new, so they're just extending the Year of a Million Dreams, which by nature is no longer a year. And
are they changing the name?
The Years of a Million Dreams...
It's not what they're doing.
No,
right
it's
now.
Called the Year of a Million Dreams. Then they'd have to make new banners.
So it's Disney years. It's like dog years. So when they say 50 years of Disneyland, it's really like, you know.
100 years.
Yeah. But I mean, we've gotten used to the 15-month celebrations, the 18-month celebrations. This is pushing it.
I don't mind it. I kind of wish they'd repackage it, even if they were going to continue the promotion, repackage it for... Because, like Fanboy's pointing out, there's something exciting about the new banners or whatever, you know, so it's just slightly different. For those of us who do go more than three or who go more often than every 3 years or whatever, it's nice to have that change. But as far as the promotion itself, I like it. I enjoy it. When we go to the park and we see people wearing the hat that signifies they're a winner or they're wearing their little dream fast pass or whatever, I don't know. It makes me smile knowing that they won it. I don't know if it has that impact on other guests who wish they were the ones who won it, but as a regular, I don't begrudge them, so I enjoy seeing the fact that they win, so I enjoy the general atmosphere of the promotion.
I don't begrudge them at all, and my problem is not with the winning part, it's not with the Dream Squad. I like the Dream Squad. I mean, I don't think they necessarily need to be tied to the promotion. I just think it's time, you know, there's many things we can celebrate and market at Disney, and, you know, there's why continue it? Like that. I mean, if they want to say we're still giving stuff away, but it's part of this another overarching at least something, it's good. I like the fact that we have the Dream Squad giving away stuff. That doesn't need to be tied to the Year of a Million Dreams.
Well, I think that celebrating other things like anniversaries of other stuff. We already had like a bazillion of them like a couple years ago. So I think the fact that this has just sort of no relevance to any of that, I think probably comes across better to the general public because then it just gets confusing.
Well, yeah, I agree. You know, 25 years of magic followed by 100 years of magic followed by 50 years of magic, that gets a little confusing.
It's like nobody remembers what the numbers are.
Do something besides of magic.
Right. Well,
I know it's stretching things.
there's other things. I mean, if they want to go global, that's fine. But, you know, we could talk about it's the Pixar Festival. It doesn't need to be tied to, you know, anniversaries either. There's, you know, with all the brilliant marketing people at Disney, I have no doubt
they're going to Machine. Put in a year and an adjective, and you will get out a marketing slogan. I've seen the Machine. It's real. It works. It's right next to the machine that creates executive titles.
Oh, you're so silly.
They're housed in their own building with this big cooling unit.
Do you remember the time someone got confused and they came up with a promotion called the Year of Senior Executive Vice President?
Well, Cynthia Harris, the first time she gave me her business card, it said 30 years of magic on it. They got it all straight.
Well, you guys are so weird.
Let's see, at least Mirror of a Million Dreams gave us Liberace Mickey.
I'm looking forward to the new character costume, but no, we get the blue.
That's a good point, yeah. Well, the thing I'm going to miss the most, presuming they don't change it in any way, is the gateways into the resort. I love going to the resort all the time, watching one come down, being excited about what the next one's going to be, and watching it slowly go up. And won't be doing that for another 12 months, I guess.
I just hope that they don't wait till that the next, whatever they're doing after this, I mean, Toy Story Mania is what they're, for both coasts, is what they're sort of advertising as the marquee attraction for next year. I hope they don't wait until August of next year to talk about the future beyond that, because I think the annual pass holder base, the cast base, is going to need something to look forward to if they're going to keep their energy alive, which is really important. This promotion is all about getting the guests and cast excited.
Do you think, I mean, I know you know quite a few cast members, do you think it does have a detrimental effect on the cast to have something like this happen?
Yeah, well, I think so, because they're motivated to go through these promotions with all sorts of, you know, talking points and things like that, and, you know, towards the end of the promotion, they just lose enthusiasm for it, because they've been doing it for a while, and it's not new anymore, and then to find out that they're not getting anything new, and I mean, they say there's new wrinkles. Well, you know, maybe they'll totally revive the concept, just keep the name, and that's fine. But, you know, the cast looks forward to whatever promotion, whatever energy they're going to get. At least that's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I'm sure if you think about it in terms of a job, if you were given a certain project and you were working on it and you expected that project to be done by a certain point, you know, there's a certain excitement. Okay, here's my new project. You get all gung-ho about it. Here it is. I'm coming on completion. And then, oh, wait, we've extended you. You know, I bet there can be a bit of a letdown.
Well, didn't you mention a moment ago how they're just now reaching a million dreams?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Isn't it sort of weird that they didn't really do their job correctly in the first place, in a way, because shouldn't we have already had a million dreams? Did they just intend on making it forever?
It started in October. Yeah, it started in October, so it'll end right around October.
They timed their dreams perfectly to have 1 year of a million dreams. It was going to, what, October 1st it was going to end originally?
No, it was going to end in December. It was originally 15 months of a year of million dreams.
And I think December 31st they were going to give away that 1 millionth dream and stop right there. they're extending it beyond a million, right? They're not like now spreading them out so there's a million over 2 years.
Every so many days.
You know who's excited? I think you were talking about the cast is the Dream Squad, because they were all looking for jobs.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Because that's so hard to come by at Disney these days.
Quick service. That's the place you want to be.
Oh, how much fun though!
Hey, if you know a bus driver.
On a happier note, the new Adventures by Disney itineraries have come out, and one of our podcast listeners who sent us, it was a voicemail, right? Sent up a voicemail a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Boy, did he nail that one.
I think it was Bill from Tennessee.
I remember he was from Tennessee. Honestly, I don't remember the name.
But, when we heard his idea for the West Coast adventure of going to the Disney studios, going backstage at Disneyland. He mentioned possibly heading up to Pixar. I was like, wow, he's thinking really big. I would never have thought that big, and it's not something that I would have ever really thought. Honestly, I wouldn't have thought possible, because we went to a Disneyana convention out in California where they took all the people attending the convention on a tour of the Disney studios. And in talking with some of the event coordinators for that, you just got the feeling like it was just a major
pain.
I don't want to say pain.
Challenge.
Pain. Yeah, it was to really operationally to get that going. But then when they Adventures by Disney came out with pretty much the itinerary that we heard from Tennessee, where you go, you get a...
Was it a barn from Tennessee?
you get to tour the Disney... You get to go to the Disney... I think it's lunch at the Disney Studios, back kind of behind the scenes with the Imagineering, and then you head down to Disneyland and you do a backstage thing, and then you also do some touring of landmarks in Hollywood. I was floored, and I realized, well, maybe now they have a mechanism to make it happen, whereas before they didn't really have any division within Disney that could of in itself coordinate this among the various entities that have to be involved.
I'm glad they figured whatever they did, I'm glad they figured it out. Tour of Hollywood, is the Tam O'Shanter included? I didn't see that on the list, but I
the itinerary, the complete itineraries have not been released yet. They'll be released in September. But, I mean, all of these sound like fun. I mean, you got Coasting the Golden State, where you could go San Francisco, Santa Barbara, L.A., Disneyland's see, included in that.
To me, this is the Soarin' over California.
Oh, that should...
When you look at it, a lot of the same sights that you see in the film Soarin' are featured
you're
this,
right.
So it totally
in fact,
totally
when you're taking
way.
The bus down, they smell, they throw oranges at it so that you can...
yeah, that orange smell.
We'll see. So at the end of Soarin', they'll now have... Want to do this?
A new sponsor.
Well, and if you go on that tour...
The best kept
if you
Disney
go on
adventure?
That tour and you don't meet the height requirement, the height indicator on the seat back, you have to...
You have to ride with the penguins.
What bugs me is that you ride on the bus, you have to look at the shoes of the bus driver.
Now that would be that to death. But you also get, you know, you have Australia, which I hear is a wonderful place to visit. China, which is sort of amazing.
Do you know if the China one
includes
goes with
Hong
the Olympics?
Kong, Disneyland?
No, that makes sense. But I'm thinking the Olympics. They're next year in Beijing.
Wow, we got something to do now. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Flavors of France?
Oui, oui.
With Ratatouille, I would guess. Grand España, Spain. Wait, doesn't that just mean big Spain?
Deportes.
Oh, and there's supposed to be a dash there to tell you. Okay.
Where did we get this list?
Once Upon a Fairy Tale, which sounds like a salute to all fairy tales in Germany, but mostly Snow White.
Hansel and Gretel.
Sacred Valleys and Incan Cities in Peru. They all sound exciting. I mean, and the returning ones.
Hey, you get to go to
Cusco. Okay. And, but the, I mean, even the returning ones are ones that, you know, the Emerald Isle going to Ireland and the Spirit of America was one I wanted to do, too. So.
Still do. Yep.
These just sound like so much fun, especially if you were a family. I read an article with the family, you know, and they're traveling with their kids. And the mom and dad were able to go and do the sights of the area that were more appealing to adults while Disney took care of their kids and took the kids to the sites of the area that were more interesting to the kids on sometimes. I mean, I'm not saying that it's a total, you know, vacation where mom and dad are way over here and kids are over there. But
like a cruise.
But it has those moments where, you know, you are able to go out and then come back. But in the same way as the cruise, because mom and dad are with you, but then you go off and do your thing and then you come back and it's nice. Yeah. So it's neat. If I would really if I was a family, I would love to be able to take advantage of it. But wow, you're paying the premium. But I think it's a premium price for a premium service.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. This is not supposed to. I mean, in the same way the cruise line is.
Right.
I mean, I know they have discounts and such because you know they have the capacity at points, but you don't get to a Disney cruise is more expensive than a Carnival cruise.
Exactly.
But it's worth it. And I mean, I wish everyone could afford this, including me. But I'm glad that's the way Disney should be. It should be a premium experience. Like the parks, it's not the Knott's price.
No, $71 to get in the door now.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't pay that.
Whew. What do you pay?
I know pass price.
Okay. You know, Carnival's the fun shit.
But Disney's the one with that do 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 do. And
you don't know if other people, you know, don't play that either.
That's true. I know no one else has fireworks shooting off there.
No, that's true.
And did you know they got special permission to paint the lifeboats Mickey yellow?
And I hear that the ship has the thrust of a 747.
That would be scary.
That's
not very much for a ship
really
that size.
Scary. And see if they put those wings and see if they put those wings out to keep the balance, they just take off. The Airbus.
That'd be cool, like a flying cruise ship.
You remember, and they
wait,
got,
what?
A flying cruise ship. Like it's a cruise ship, as big as it is, except it goes through the air instead of on the water, so you can get to more places.
I don't think that would work very well.
As big as a cruise ship.
Oh.
That airbus was pretty big.
That would be a lot of thrust to get that thing up.
If you make the wings big enough, you can fly a mountain. Somebody said that. I don't know, Chris, what, Dick Button or Rattan or something.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about, the Voyager people.
Not the tennis player.
No, the Voyager people.
Voyager people? From, like, Disneyland's Tomorrowland?
The ones who did the glider. Not from Tomorrowland. Real, actual people, you're not thinking. From
like,
the magic
I take all my physics advice from bad cover bands.
Not bad. Okay. And speaking of not bad, but okay, what did we see this week?
Underdog. Underdog.
What is that?
I don't know. You can't just say underdog. It's like saying Superman. You gotta say Superman.
Like, there's no need to...
There's no need to worry. Underdog will hurry.
Is furry?
I thought it was this furry, but
maybe.
I'm not sure. But anyway, they said that in the movie.
Do you know what my favorite part of the movie was?
What?
When the human boy and the dog are talking, and the human insults the dog, and the dog says, "Well, at least you don't. I don't pee in your porcelain water dish."
Well, you couldn't have said that any better.
Oh wow, delivery.
Well, you know, it's DiGiorno.
That was the best line in the film, but it was a good film.
Yeah, a lot better than expected, because as the trailers ended, I went, okay, well, there goes my movie-going experience. But it was actually fun.
The sad thing was, because it was actually a decent family film, the sad thing was who knew that it was going to be released in a year where it had competition among another hero dog film.
Firehouse Dog.
Which was actually better.
But yeah, but that's like comparing Steel Magnolias to Terms of Endearment.
You're right. How shallow am I? You're right.
Oh, please. Like, most of the critics I read were comparing those two. It's very funny.
Well, they're shallow, too.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of critics.
I think he's trying to hum the Ebert Roper
at the movies theme.
That was like the Tonight Show.
That was the original at the movies.
It's close. He's kind of merging it with the Tonight Show.
Here's Ebert. What about what is it now? Dun, dun, dun.
Not this again.
Okay, right, so what they were trying to get to was the fact that you can now watch old classic movie reviews from Ebert.
Can you really say classic movie review?
Well, they're classic movies and they're being
one.
Reviewed.
It's just a classic.
Not
it was
a classic.
Written so
wait. Not a classic review of a movie. A classic movie being reviewed.
As long as it was classic and released after, what,
1985? Hey, yeah. They're on AMC now, so...
Touche.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can see what they originally thought of Toy Story, which I find funny because they mentioned story's not that good, which, yeah. You know, is the whole driving purpose of Pixar's integration.
Growing up, I always thought Ebert was the one I kind of identified with. But
you're wrong.
Looking back now and seeing that Siskel thought Field of Dreams was terrible and Ebert thought it was a classic, yeah, Siskel's the man.
Mm-hmm. So, when I used to watch, I mostly found myself tending towards Siskel's opinions versus Ebert.
What about the dude now?
Roper?
Well, he doesn't count.
I don't know. I
haven't liked
watched
him since he left
years.
Three's Company.
Oh, you stop. You're so bad.
Got his own show flopping like, I think, yeah, like 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
You know, and...
Stop. Oh, I'm glad Mrs. Roper's not on because I can't. Those moves would not work these days.
Oh, my.
But I'm looking forward to Ebert and Furley. I hear it's pretty good. Anyway.
There's nothing like a movie reviewer wearing an ascot.
So anyway, what is it? atthemoviestv.com?
Yeah, not to be confused with atthemovies.tv. Not to be confused with atthemovies.com.tv. It's atthemovies.tv.com.
And you can watch the old reviews. It's a lot of fun going back to 1985, and it truly is somewhat addicting, actually, to just sit there and watch these reviews. So you've been warned. Over on the left coast, the smaller brother of Walt Disney World, the Disneyland Resort, had one of its beloved attractions close, I think yesterday as we record this.
Was it
its
an
final
attraction
day.
Or was it a store?
It was an attraction that sold merchandise. It was an attraction with an exit through a store. No, not really.
No, it was a store with an exhibition.
It was under attractions on the map.
Yeah, but so it was a lot of things.
That's what counts. That's okay. That's the criterion.
Okay.
The Disney Gallery has closed.
And
people care a lot more than I would have thought. I mean, honestly, when I heard the Disney Gallery was closing, I was like, yeah, what a shame. But people care. Do you care, Rebecca?
I wrote a blog entry about it today.
What'd you say?
I said that I'm glad I got to experience. I'm glad that I took the time to enjoy it as much as I did when it was there. Because for me, the Disney Gallery was a nice, calm, quiet place to go in the midst of the insanity that can be a hot summer day at Disneyland, when there's lots and lots of people and it's hot and humid. Not humid. It's California. Dry and smoggy. You know, you could kind of just disappear up to the gallery, and there was a nice little, is it an alcove? I don't know what it is, but it's like a little patio.
Lanai.
Kind of a petapatif.
With a fountain and some tables and chairs, and I'd go sit there with whatever Star Wars novel I was reading at the time.
Geek.
And
that's themed.
And enjoy. I usually had a book cover on it because I didn't want to be bad show. So I would have my little Star Wars book. Or I would sit on the patio and watch the various performers, you know, that would cycle through at New Orleans Square, listen to the jazz band or whatever, and take pictures of the Mark Twain and just enjoy watching the Mark Twain go around the river because I enjoy that. And, you know, just in essence take a break from the day before heading back into the insanity. And I mean, and I've purchased some art from there. I didn't even realize it until it closed. I was like, well, I've actually purchased stuff from there, which surprised me because I don't really collect stuff. So, I mean, like art, so... But I bought an image of Big Thunder Mountain that Tony Baxter did, and he signed it.
I remember that.
And then I one of the wedding gifts we got was the beautiful image of the Mark Twain at dusk.
Ooh.
And that hangs right at our entry, so it's like the first thing people see when they walk in the house. Is that really beautiful?
And then they trip over the stairs because that should have been the first thing they saw.
so yeah, but. I'm sad because I remember sitting on the balcony and enjoying Fantasmic before and after they make you pay for it. You used to have to just wait in line. It was first come, first serve. And so we'd get there at like 3 in the afternoon and stand there until the balcony was available for my family of five to sit there and enjoy the show. And we did that two or three times. And then they realized that they had a gold mine, so they brought in a dessert buffet and started charging. And I did that probably three more times. But
and now
fun.
The balcony is closed.
Exactly. That's how it feels. I don't know. I'm sad. It'll hit me when we go back in December for our trip.
It seemed to be
closed
all the time anyway. It's like Fanboy's Fantasmic. You know, you walk by, and now the gallery's closed for refurb. Oh, well, won't see it this time. What I'll miss, though, really, honestly, the only thing I'll miss is the balcony, because I did love to go up there during the day and just sit. One thing I love is an upper view, and I really lament the fact that there are very few available in Disney parks. And having that one at Disneyland where you could just sit and watch New Orleans Square and Frontierland, that was really nice, and I do miss that.
It's been a while since I've been a Disneyland regular, but especially, you know, on just a pure guest basis about having some Laughing Place thing or something to do there. But, when you know, in the 90s, the cast there was always very superb, and you would go there, it'd always be the same people.
Yep.
And you know, they would just talk, and you would, you know, you could talk about Disney history, you could talk about what's going on in the park, you could just shoot the breeze, you know, go out, watch the patio. I mean, not watch the patio, watch the...
Wow, it's still green.
Hey, like, still says Roy Disney.
Watching the paint dry.
And, you know, go out there, hope, you know, look at the Rivers of America, think about Fantasmic, I guess, and do your thing and go back out and be ready to take on the day. And it was, that's what I'm going to miss.
I feel like we're at a WTI celebration of life, the way you guys...
I think the last time I was at the Disney Gallery, I remember seeing the figurehead, I guess you would call it, the front part of the Black Pearl was there on display. And that's like my... Because I used to pretty much do what all you did. I would go up there, except rather than read Star Wars or whatever, I'd actually be... drawing. I'd try to look at the art in there, and I'd try to like do my own drawings of it. So I would just be there for a while. I hear the fountain. It was very, what's the word, meditative?
Mm-hmm. Very. Yeah.
It's like the Walden Pond of Disneyland, yeah. Where yeah, all the intellectuals would go and hang out.
And it's a special place in that it was supposed to be Walt's second apartment mm-hmm. there, just like the castle suite is ever Walt Disney World. Go figure. And So, you know, while the I'll miss the exhibits because those were cool. I mean, you know, some were better than others. The Tomorrowland thing was there for, what, 5-6 years? Probably about as long as the Year of a Million Dreams. And
even but, I remember the Tomorrowland thing.
But, you know, but the, I mean, the model of Space Mountain they had in there.
Oh, that was awesome.
So cool.
That was cool.
And
the Observatron. Remember when they fired that up? Mm-hmm. Doug Hartwell was out there and fired it up.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
And so, but, you know, so they can, I mean, I hope they move that, can, I hope that still has a place somewhere at the Disneyland Resort, whether it's, you know, the Opera House or DCA or even a ballroom. But it still won't be the same as being in a place where Walt was supposed to live, right up there in that sort of, you know, it was like, it was vaguely Club 33, you know, it was just
exactly.
like, it was that whole world up there, you were close, you know, mm-hmm. the Club 33 manager would occasionally pop out of his little door and you'd be like, ooh, it's a Club 33 manager. And you'd, and so, but I'll miss that, but I mean, at the same time, I'm not like, how dare they close the Disney Gallery, because I know they're going to do something with it. They're not closing it because they want to close it, they're closing it because there's something else on the horizon.
Right.
A new horizon.
Shining through.
For me and you.
But I hope they have another. I mean, I was trying to think. I know the Disney Anna store on Main Street is so small.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because I met, I wrote it on the blog, but you didn't read it yet. I remembered that I met Roy Disney there and Bob Thomas, the author of the autobiography of the author of the biography of Walt and the biography.
Bob Thomas.
And he assisted with the
Building a Company by Roy O. Disney?
No.
By Roy E. Disney?
Yeah.
No, by Bob Thomas. It wasn't an autobiography.
And
oh, I'm thinking of Building a Dream.
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
No, yeah. Okay.
And then we toured the exhibit of 100 Mickeys with Eric Robison, the artist, and he told the stories of the various paintings, and that
funny
was
stories
so much
there.
Fun. And I met John Hench up at the gallery, and you know, just there were lots of really neat opportunities as a Disney fan. There had a signing one time, I believe Alice Davis and Sam McKim and Bob Gurr were all up there, and I mean, it was just a lot of neat experiences and moments like that, and I hope that there's another place where they can, you know, continue
right.
to carry on that kind of stuff, because that was a nice place where it was not so removed from Disneyland that it didn't feel like you were in Disneyland anymore, but yet also not kind of in the center of the hubbub, so you could take that breather and do that kind of thing.
And it was very Disneyland. I mean, that kind of thing, just it's not a Disney World thing. It's a Disneyland, I've been coming here for the last 20 years, I'm going to gallery and saying hello thing. It's not... It's you know, we'll miss it, but c'est la vie. It's in New Orleans Square, so I spoke French.
Je comprends.
Oh, ratatouille. Hey, did you answer my question I asked you yesterday?
What?
In the French trailer for Ratatouille, do they spell out ratatouille phonetically? Or is...
is that a French word?
I hope so. Just if any of you listeners are in France, let me know.
We got a post on the discussion boards this week about the Disneyland Hotel, a subject we've discussed a couple weeks now, but as long as you keep writing about it, we'll keep talking about it. Rebecca, what do you say?
It's like the Year of a Million Dreams.
Yeah, pretty much. So this post is by Disney Dad, and he starts off with a brief introduction, just, you know, praises us, which is nice to hear. He calls our podcast brilliant.
Thank you very much. That's enough. Moving on.
Podcast is he listening to?
I think he just discredited the rest of this post.
So Disney Dad's a Vegas native, and he says he's been going to Disneyland since 68 and had pretty much yearly visits throughout the 70s, and most of his visits, he said, were centered on stays at the Disneyland Hotel. And he says he's been a pass holder for 16 years. The Disneyland Hotel, as it was, pre-DCA and Downtown Disney, was Disneyland to me, he says. Part of going to Disneyland was the old Disneyland Hotel. It means as much to me as to many others as Adventures Through Inner Space, Mr. Lincoln, People Mover, etc. I know it's hard to understand if you're a recent 90s convert to the park. You can't comprehend the meaning of that sweet old hotel. When I was a young one and we arrived at the Disneyland Hotel, we were at Disneyland. They were not separate. They were one and the same. The 70s was the glory period of the hotel. Around the time a black hole came out, they had lasers and red sharp lines throughout the center area. It was fantastic. It was fascinating to look at them. The water show was up and running. It may be silly, but not as silly as the Tiki Room pre-show. I really miss it. Bring it back. The waterfalls. Oh, the waterfalls. I love the waterfalls, too, by the way, Disney Dad. That's one of my favorite things there. But go ahead. I'll read your stuff. From a young boy to a married man, I can't fully tell you what they mean to me. As much as the Matterhorn Pirates, the waterfalls are Disneyland. I walked with my parents, my wife, and my children through them. To this day, I can't imagine visiting Disneyland without being sprayed by the waters of those treasured falls. Until the late 90s, we would always stay at the bungalows. Always wanted to, never got to. My mother would demand it. You had a fantastic room with a wood fence patio and with a worn-out door. And when you opened that patio door, you were 10 feet from the monorail ramp. You can see old bungalows in the Disneyland video, such as Disney After Dark. But as he says, they were right there. Up until construction of DCA in Downtown Disney, it was the place to stay. Better than the Grand Californian. Better than anything you can imagine. How many times did I eat at the Monorail Cafe? A lot. I loved it. The Cactus Bar. Forbidden when I was a young one. Fun when I got older. All gone. Hello, Downtown Disney. I remember taking my father and my firstborn son out on the paddle boats through the center lagoon in the center of the towers. It would be like being allowed to venture out into the Lake of Paradise Pier. It was magic. The Disneyland Hotel, as it was and as it is, should be left alone. It's enough that they tore down the bungalows, the Cactus Bar, and the Monorail Cafe to make room way for Downtown Disney. All of those lost memories equal losing Adventures Through Inner Space, the People Mover, the Buckets, and Country Bears. I love the new Peter Pan pool, but I can't help missing the lagoon. All Disney magic. Rename the towers? That's like renaming the Matterhorn Big Hill or Splash Mountain Wet Ridge. Nobody would care, right? They've already taken away the Monorail Cafe, the water show, the lagoon. Do they really need to take away the joy of staying in the Bonita Tower? I've lost enough in my stays at Disneyland. Must I lose this too? He really hit a chord with me.
Oh,
seriously,
the Monorail
I'd forgotten. I mean, when I think of the Disneyland Hotel, I think of it after the change, as it were. I don't think
after
it was.
After we hit 55.
Well, I mean, it's been so
explains
long.
Explains the hot flash.
It's been so long since it had the Cactus Bar and Neon Cactus and all those little shops that I spent so much money in, because that's where I did most of my shopping, was Mickey's Corner and all that. And there were those little sandwich, that little sandwich place.
Oh, those shops. There was a brief period in my life when I was a bachelor.
I remember this.
And I hated doing laundry. I bought so many clothes at those shops.
Yeah, you did. Yes, what else did you buy there? You bought toiletries there, too.
Okay, we don't need to go into
Mr.
that.
Mr. Snow White Shampoo, Esmeralda Bath Gel.
For the record, I bought those at the Disney store.
Oh, did you? Oh. Sorry, I thought you got those there.
I miss the Monorail Cafe.
Yeah, that was always the place to go.
And I agree in that I miss those things, but I don't want the Disneyland Hotel to be stuck in 1974 either. I mean, I understand. I mean,
harmless.
I miss the Monorail Cafe. I miss Mickey's Corner. I have fond memories of those things and the underwater arcade and all that.
Oh,
the underwater arcade.
Arcade.
What was the point of that?
Dude, that was so
to have an arcade underwater.
Do you remember that, Captain Jack?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so young.
Oh, I'm so
but,
young.
But it's time. You know, it's time to move on. And Downtown Disney is, you know, if. I bet you in 20 years there's going to be people – they're going to change Downtown Disney slightly, and people are going to reminisce about the days of hoi polloi and
– Something's over.
Something's over. Exactly. It's just
– No, they're not.
No, but you know what I mean? They're going to – people get attached to the way it was when they were kids, but Disneyland is not purely nostalgia. While it's a part of it, they also need to move forward and
– See, I disagree with you when it's replaced with something that's as magical as what they had. I don't think people necessarily reminisce – in a downtrodden way when something that they adore. For example, for me, Adventures Through Inner Space. That was my absolute favorite attraction. I have a lot of really terrific fond memories of it. It was replaced by Star Tours. I have a lot of really swell, great memories about Star Tours too. So I don't mope around the fact that Adventures Through Inner Space, and I don't whine about it because, you know, it was replaced with something good. I will tell you, when ESPN Zone opened up, I was very excited until I went in, and then I missed the Neon Cactus because I enjoyed it better as a sports bar than I ever did ESPN Zone.
I did too, but, I mean, I've got to be honest with myself, and as much as I absolutely love the Neon Cactus, the Monorail Cafe, all of that stuff, I don't think of it as being magical. I loved it because I was a Disneyland fan, and I liked being able to walk over to the hotel and do all this cool stuff, but it wasn't particularly Disney or magical. I just think it was more nostalgia than anything else.
Well, see, the Monorail Cafe has one of my absolute favorite Disneyland photos of all time. Big, huge posters, crystal clear poster. Was gorgeous. That evening shot of the bubble-headed monorail coming over the sub-lagoon. Oh, man.
I'll agree on the Monorail Cafe. I shouldn't have included that there. But the Neon Cactus. Neon Cactus was
a bar. I'm saying it was replaced with what, if you're doing a direct comparison of what the footprint, in essence, became.
Right, and I'm just saying that the changing out the Neon Cactus for the ESPN Zone, it's not better, it's not worse. It's just, you know, taking out one bar for another bar. Taking out the Monorail Cafe, I will agree. The Monorail Cafe was something special, something particularly Disney. The maps on the placemats
with
Find Mickey and what it was like. It still had the buckets on it.
Oh, yeah.
Cameo on it, didn't it?
Never been updated.
Cameo was on it.
Totally.
But you're talking about magical. I don't think renaming the Bonita Tower to something like Bonita Tower would be what? Dreams?
I have a lot of keys. Yes, somebody has a lot of keys. That's funny, they just appeared. Anyway, go on.
There's nothing magical to me about the name Bonita.
Right.
Or Marina or Sierra, for that matter. And yeah, I mean, I miss parts of the Disneyland Hotel, but would you say if I could bring back the Monorail Cafe instead of having, you know, Compass Books or whatever? I mean, you know, I'm not the footprint guy, but whatever. Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, this is talking about the wholesale change, and that, you know, yeah, we might have lost Fantasy Waters, but the reason we lost Fantasy Waters is because nobody watched it.
Did we really lose it? Because the last time I remember being there, I saw it.
The location's there, but it's not running.
Right.
It stopped running recently?
Yeah.
A few years back before we moved?
A while ago.
I guess what I'm saying is
it outlasted some of these changes.
Oh, definitely. It came through Downtown Disney.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, you have the movie theater, which is, you know, I'm gonna have nostalgic memories of that movie theater just because I've seen so many movies and so many special events there. Downtown Disney is an improvement as far as I can see. In that, you know, it's bigger, it's got more offerings, it makes the resort more than just the Disneyland park hours plus a couple hours at the Disneyland Hotel. It's an actual, you know, 9 to 2 a.m. place now. But
I think the one thing that it did that I don't think that they took into account enough was I think it completely devalued the Disneyland Hotel. Because the Disneyland Hotel was no longer right on the monorail loop.
It did, and I think you know, Disney has never been satisfied with the Disneyland Hotel. As guests, we can say we liked it, but Disney itself as a company, I mean, that thing has gone through so many refurbishments, not because numbers are bad, but because they think of it as an eyesore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just Disney. And so, you know, and honestly, I would be surprised if that hotel is around 20 years from now. And the only reason it's around is because it has three big towers and there's not enough Disney hotel inventory at this time to demolish it. They want to blow up that hotel. And I don't support that either. I mean, I think Disneyland Hotel has a, you know, important significance, but we can't keep it the same just for the sake of keeping it the same or because we have fond memories of it.
Oh, okay. I can almost go there.
Are there certain things, and as I said, you know, I wish we still had the Monorail Cafe. I wasn't a big fan of Neon Cactus, but I'm not saying specifically if you want to talk one for one here, there's certain things I would do differently, absolutely. But to feel the need to keep it the same just because that's the way you remember it,
Do they still have the waterfalls? Because I know for the longest time they always had them like blocked off. You know how you used to be able to walk under them and then they blocked that off. I'm guessing lawsuits because the ground was wet and whatnot.
You know what I miss is the koi fishing. Koi
feeding.
Oh,
the koi fishing.
That's why they're gone. Eat them all.
Yeah, the koi. Remember when they got rid of the little koi pond in front of the Paradise Pier Hotel?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
The koi pond.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. There's a story there.
Yeah, there's a story there, but a certain poster on the discussion boards would strangle both of us if we went into the koi pond story.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks, Disney Dad. I'm a fanboy. I mean, everything, obviously, we all know everything has to change. I would even bet you acknowledge everything has to change, but it is always nice to go down memory lane, especially a place as near and dear to my heart.
Thank you. That was awesome.
As the Disneyland Hotel.
You know what I just remembered? Yeah. I have in my scrapbook, this is so weird and pathetic, the last can of Guinness beer that was served at the Neon Cactus. One of my friends at the table ordered it, and so I asked him if I could have it, and I took it home, washed it out, rinsed it out, cut it, and mashed it into my scrapbook, and so I have the last Guinness stout that was
that
served
there.
In, yeah.
That is mighty weird.
Yeah, well, you know.
Were we there the last day of the Monorail Cafe?
Monorail Cafe,
I think we went there.
I don't know if we were or not. I can't tell you. I'm pretty sure we were, but I thought that they kind of had a revolving changing. They, like, it was going to change, and then something happened, and it wasn't, and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know if we were
Goofy
there the final night.
So how long was, like, the Monorail Cafe and such closed before they started building Downtown Disney and whatnot? Had they already been sort of gone for a while?
I can't even remember.
I think it was a pretty quick turnover. Really? From the day they closed it to the day they put the wall up, if I remember correctly. You remember the Bellhops? It was like a little band that was
playing. Oh, very much.
Milk.
And I think that's, you know, and that's the changes. When Downtown Disney opened, that became the entertainment district that supported the Disneyland Hotel, as opposed to the Disneyland Hotel being an entertainment destination on its own right. And that's just a philosophical change. I feel the resort should have their own entertainment, and they still do to an extent. But you're not going to have the Bellhops anymore. Just, it's not the way that, you know, they have them in Downtown Disney. A bit more guest impact.
So, Captain, what you got?
Well,
what do I got?
What do you got is the...
Last week we asked a very special question on a very special episode of the Laughing Place podcast in which Blossom discovers. last week we asked the question, when exactly did the discussion boards launch on laughingplace.com? And Magnet, one of our loyal and faithful posters, got it exactly right. Wow. January 30th, 2000. Super Bowl Sunday. We had a thing for our first two or three years. We always launched something new on Super Bowl Sunday, figuring, you know, most people aren't on the site, and this is a good time to be making changes.
So what you can learn from Magna is that if you post it three times,
speaking of the discussion boards, they were a little slow on Friday, so Magna hit submit three times before it finally took it.
Oh, poor Magna.
But we got rid of two of them. Let's see. Pirate Princess did not get it right. Or, sorry, she did not post in time. I don't know if she knew the answer. And Retlaw Fan did get it right, albeit about 2 days too late. Congratulations, Magnet. And this week, in yet another stunning turn of events, Rebecca will be asking the octagonal table question.
Okay. Since we were talking about the Disneyland Hotel, I thought I would throw a question out here to the assembled crowd. They should know the answer to that those listening at home probably do not. Our favorite restaurant, Doobie and mine, was Stromboli's.
Ah, Stromboli's.
And as with your breadsticks that would arrive at the beginning of your meal, they would serve this wonderful...
Beep.
Wonderful sun-dried tomato spread. It was cream cheese and tomatoes blended together. And the regulars had an affectionate name for it.
Beep.
What was it?
It was the orange goop.
Yes, Doobie, you are right.
You come for the goop, you stay for the sludge, because they have the best hot chocolate in the world with the sludgy chocolate at the bottom when you're done.
Rich layer of chocolate at the bottom when you were done to scoop up. So
come for the goop
and stay for the sludge. That's what we would say.
It's amazing that place closed.
That should have been the slogan, you know.
Yeah, I think it was on the menu. Stromboli's. Where you?
Come for the goop and stay for the sludge.
Yeah, it's like where good food is.
What's our other memory of that place was the final night, the final dinner. We'd been going there steadily. Doobie and I probably ate there two times a week, if not three times a week, steadily from 97 to when it closed.
Yeah,
we think it was 99.
We've been hundreds of times.
Oh, yeah. And we would go with our friend John, who operates the Disney blog. And that final night, for the first time, he ordered the lobster ravioli.
And said, I shouldn't order it because what if it's really good? And all this time I didn't order it. And you know what? Apparently it was really good.
Yeah. So those were some of our
games. We had a rehearsal dinner at Stromboli for our wedding. We had our first anniversary there.
And you know what my favorite dish was at Stromboli's?
What?
The fruit plate.
Yeah, you never really liked the food, did you?
I wasn't a big fan of the food. I'd have a little bit of the sun-dried tomato cream cheese spread, the goop. And then I would have a fruit plate and a hot chocolate.
Do you guys go to, like, Goofy's Kitchen to relive the fond memories?
We go,
no.
But it's not the same at all.
No,
I love the spinach pizza and the five cheese pizza. Or sometimes I'd get the five cheese pizza with spinach. I'd like to give a shout out to my waitress friends at Stromboli's, Genevieve and
Gina,
thank you.
Jude.
And Tyrone. What's up, Tyrone, out there in the host? He's probably still in that same position.
If you go to Gooby's Kitchen and there's a fine-looking black man named Tyrone, you got to tell him that Doobie and Rebecca say hi.
Oh, you think he's fine-looking?
I'm being nice, man.
I mean, he's all right. I wouldn't call him fine-looking.
I'm being nice.
I don't want people to go looking for, like, Billy D or something.
No, I'm being very, okay. very complimentary.
All right. Oh, man, we knew all those people. We had a couple of them come to our wedding, even.
Yes, we did.
We were some serious regulars at that
place.
That's
just scary.
All right, Captain, you got one for the peeps.
All right, well, still on the subject of the Disneyland Hotel, Hoax Point, what was the name before it became Hoax Point?
Ooh.
Simple question. Just post in the podcast section.
I never ate there before it became Hoax Point.
Me either, but I do. I'll give you a hint. It was Rod Miller's favorite restaurant on property.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What did he swear by there? Was it like a chowder or a bisque? It was a soup of some sort.
I don't know.
That's what I remember.
KFC,
No, he also had a fondness for KFC chicken pot pie. We would go out and pick those up for him and bring him to the park.
At Hook's Point, there was a Cynthia Harris chocolate souffle.
Oh, that was a good souffle.
I hope it still is a good chocolate souffle.
Oh, that was a good souffle. Do you remember I wrote Cynthia to tell her about... Cause I forget why. She had done something, so I dropped her a little thank you note, and at the end I said, be sure and try the chocolate souffle. She sent me a note back, and she says something like, don't worry, I have. You're right, it's delicious, or something. That was really sweet.
I remember when they announced Cynthia Harris was leaving for personal reasons, and my friend of mine, and we went to Hook's Point, and we had the souffle.
Oh.
Did we get a personal card back from Paul Pressler for our wedding? I can't remember.
I did that for other Disney friends.
Okay.
When Disney friends would get married, super Disney geek friends of ours, I'd send a wedding card with an accompanying letter and a self-addressed stamped envelope to the offices at Disney. And I think Paul Pressler, Tony Baxter, and I think Cynthia Harris, all three of them, I got them to sign various wedding cards for Disney geek friends.
Well, I want to get married and have...
Dick Cook sign
Yeah, Dick Cook. Yeah, Dick there we
Cook
go.
Sign a wedding card.
Bob Iger?
Oh, totally. I'm a big Bob fan.
That'd be fun. So. That was fun.
Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't do it for our own way, though. That seemed kind of cheesy.
No, I thought maybe someone else did it.
No,
you know what's not cheesy? You have to send them an invitation. Because we were just normal Disney fans back then. We weren't LP people. So.
Which makes us abnormal Disney fans.
Pretty much, yeah. Who else sits in front of a microphone for an hour a week just talking to themselves about Disney?
True enough.
Anyway. We got a question. Sue and Fred Coppola. I wonder if they're related to Francis. Anybody know?
I hear they're related to Nicolas Cage, actually.
Ah, touche.
National Treasure 2. Woo-hoo! Couple months away. Excited? Woo-hoo! You feel the excitement in the air? I'm really excited.
Are the answers all around you?
We are longtime WDW fans. That stands for Walt Disney World. Everyone here.
Okay, thank you.
And for the first time...
I thought he was going to the wet and dry, wonderful world park.
You're missing
because I was all ready to talk about their Halloween party.
For the first time, we are going to be attending the not-so-scary Halloween party. Any tips? And thanks for all your hard work. First of all, my first tip, this is not hard work. What are you doing over there?
Boo to you.
And then they go, happy Halloween.
I have a very important tip. Don't eat all the candy at the night.
Oh.
Don't do that. That's a mistake I make once a year. And just don't.
Yeah, don't be shy about getting candy. It's definitely a big tip. They got plenty. They're not going to run out. Get as much candy as you can.
And in fact, they can't wait to give it away. Yeah. Anyway.
And exactly. If you take the Holland Expressway from Toontown to Tomorrowland, it's a great candy opportunity.
And get a fresh bag on your way out because they want to top you off as you leave, too. So, Rebecca, what not-so-scary tip do you got?
Well, I was like, what are you trying to abbreviate? Gotcha. My tip is to not wait until the party time to go to the Magic Kingdom. To get there a little bit earlier and have your wristband and whatnot. Because you can get your wristband starting in the early afternoon, usually. Oh, really? 5? Okay. The guys are telling me 5. So, a couple hours before the party starts. And so that way you're in there and you can you know, kind of leisurely get into the mood. But be sure that you get one of their special maps for the evening, because it'll have, you know, it'll let you know what you're doing, and it'll show you where all the various candy sites are. And if you don't want healthy stuff, be careful, because now that everybody's being all healthy, they sneak in raisins every now and then.
Raisins.
Be careful.
So every once in a while, somebody's had to get a little white box. Run!
I like the raisins.
Well, that would come under the trick
okay,
category.
Fine. You can like the raisins all you want.
And because, well, you know, now they have
I'm waiting to see if we. At the Pirate and Princess. Candy, to be honest with you.
At the Pirate and Princess party, we pretty much only got raisins for some reason.
Yeah, it was raisins, a lot of raisins. Chocolate. It was like raisins, chocolate doubloons, and necklaces at the Pirate and Princess party.
Uh-huh. Was that at the holiday party? Or the, what is it called? Very Merry Christmas party?
Yeah.
They have apple slices if you can get what you can get in addition to cookies. And it sort of cleanses your palate for the cookies and hot chocolate. And aperitif.
Yeah.
Oui, oui. And then
a lot of French in this podcast.
If you if you like the parade and you like to stay up late, the second parade is so less crowded. So many fewer people than the first parade.
That reminds me of another important tip. Do not have your feet on the sidewalk before the parade.
Oh yeah. There's a fun, exciting entrance for this parade, and they want to make sure everybody's feet are up off the sidewalk, and so just really make sure that your feet are up on the sidewalk. It's a very good thing to do.
I know this isn't really what the point, though, but also at Halloween time, the Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground has their haunted hay rides. That is awesome. That is well worth the whatever $10 it costs. And
what it costs is having to get there early.
Oh, yeah, you do. But if you go before, I mean, the earlier you go in the Halloween season, the easier. Because one year I got there like the first weekend and there was no problem. Then, you know, last year I tried to wait closer because I don't know, I was doing something. And, yeah, that wasn't going to happen. So, but it's awesome.
I really want to do that's on my list this year. We've not done that yet.
Anything else? See how the wishes. It's well worth it.
The fireworks and the parade are different, and you won't see them any other time than at the Halloween party. So don't miss them. And if you have it, and if you're gonna be at Walt Disney World during the for a few days, and you find yourself with not a lot to do on one of the evenings, but you aren't gonna go to the party that night, but they are having a party. So if that makes sense. You can follow what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're not going to the Magic Kingdom for Not So Scary Halloween that night, but they have the party that night. You can watch them from any of the Monorail Loop hotels there, the Contemporary or the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian, because the way that they launch their fireworks for these events, they have more locations from which they're launching the shells. And it's a different experience to see it from far away like that over by the resorts than it is inside the theme park. Inside the theme park, it's really amazing because with the way that they position them, you feel in some ways as if you're almost like surrounded by pyro. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're outside the theme park, it's like it's like CinemaScope. It's all along the horizon. So in essence, instead it's take those 9 screens that surround you when you're in one of the Circle Vision movies and spread them out in a row, and that's what it's like to watch them from the from the hotels. And then they curl back up in a circle around you when you're standing in the hub. That's how it feels.
One important note though is they're not doing the 360 fireworks anymore. It's more of like a 180 fireworks.
Right.
And so I remember last year I didn't know. So I'm like turning around and I'm not seeing anything and I'm looking and nope, there was no, I guess they only, because they have to close like half of Walt Disney World for those stupid things. So, I mean, they made the right decision, but I was like, did they cut that? So they don't do that.
Wear a costume if you're comfortable with that, because they're more than encouraged. You'll fit right in and have a good time.
Not just the kids either.
Just read the guidelines though. Those are very important.
Yes, do pay attention to the guidelines, most definitely.
Because they will not let you in. Thankfully, because some of those people are kind of crazy.
And don't be too skimpy. This is a family park.
But
have some class.
But yeah, but one of my favorite costumes that we saw last year was a family. They all came as, you know, they came as the Incredible Family, so they all had incredible shirts on, including, and then they dressed up Grandma's Edna Mode. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Remember the Fast Pass family?
Oh, there was a family with big old, they were like giant size, like sandwich boards, like you see people selling on the street, you know,
right.
Hey, come in, we're open today. Yeah, but instead it was the front and back of a Fast Pass. Yeah. So it's the Fast Pass family.
And apparently it got them first in line, too. Then they take you away and shove you in that little box. And
last year there was this really impressive person dressed up as like Mickey Mouse, and their mouth moved.
Oh, sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Oh, you guys are silly. What are some other costumes we saw? We saw all kinds of crazy. I mean, you see some Disney, some non-Disney, some like, you know, Raggedy Ann, generic princess.
Minnie, very, very, very good. The one you won't see this year, not so scary, I don't think. But if you happen to be coming a little sooner for the Pirate and Princess party and you see a really, 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 really good Jack Sparrow, say hi. It might just be Captain John.
It just might be Captain John.
It might be me.
And if it's not Captain John...
No, that's Captain John.
Well, that's Captain Jackson.
Get in line, wait for 40 minutes to take a picture.
Yeah, but if you see Captain, what's your name? Captain John instead, you know, get his autograph. It's same experience.
Oh, no, I can't do that. They'll throw me out of the park for that.
Don't get his autograph.
See, that's part of that's one of the guidelines there. If you're dressed up as a Disney character, do not pose for any pictures or sign anything. That's like...
Oh, and
you can't pose for pictures?
No, you can't.
They really don't want you to. I mean, I think that's part of the... I think
I mean, if you were doing something stupid and people might think you're Disney...
No, I completely understand someone posing for a picture or saying, come take... But there have been plenty of times where I've walked through and seen a really cool costume and said, hey, can I take your picture? I'd hate for them to have to say, no. But, you know,
well,
I understand.
You know what? I doubt they do. But I bet if a queue starts up, then they're going to be can you please move along?
There's a difference between letting someone take a picture and encouraging someone to take a picture.
Putting up a sign, getting a character greeter out front.
Because we saw those, there were two young ladies last year. There were 20-somethings dressed up as the Disney princesses.
Right.
And people, a couple of little girls stopped and took pictures with them. And I didn't notice Disney security running over there. Hey. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're within reason, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But it's a fun time.
Were you there when I went and Captain Jack Knockoff was there and he started getting a line and they told him, you know, you can't do that. And he got all mad. Or is that the other time I went to Pirate and Princess?
I don't think we were with you at that time because I think you disappeared for a little bit. You bumped into some people.
No, that was another Pirate and Princess because I went to two last year and it was the one that was not miserable and rainy.
We weren't the one that was miserable and rainy.
But we had a good time. I love these things. These things are fun. Oh, and Haunted Mansion is illuminated. They light it up from the outside differently.
And all the CM get makeup.
Really pretty.
And this year, for Not So Scary, they're actually going to change part of the Haunted Mansion for you. There's going to be, like, the bride's going to have an axe, and there's going to be staircases that move around, and they're going to completely remaster the audio.
Really? Just for the party?
Yeah.
They really should keep that all year round.
They should. Maybe they will. Because, like, you know how the Hall of Wishes, like, originally was just for the party, and then they said, whatever. And they just, like, do it the week before Halloween.
Oh, do they do it the week before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if they're going to do it this year, but I know they did it last year. Same thing with the Christmas fireworks, Hall of Wishes.
Right.
Not Hall of Wishes, Holiday Wishes.
But will they finish it in time?
That is not an option, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sure Mansion will be back.
It doesn't matter if they finish it in time. It will be open.
Yeah.
they'll make it happen.
Well, Haunted Mansion will never be completed as long as there's imagination left in the world.
And people dying, so there's ghosts in there. That's another important fact.
There's room for one more.
So, yeah, if you're a late night person and you want to enjoy the attractions that are available that night, as the evening goes on, they get really, 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 really empty because a lot of people come with their kids. And so they come earlier and try and do all the trick-or-treating that they want to do and all the rides that they want to do before the parade and fireworks. And then once the parade and fireworks are over, they clear out. So take that into consideration, depending on what it is that you want to accomplish during your night at the not-so-scary Halloween party.
It's really not so scary.
And it's lots
of
fun.
And let us know how it was. We're curious to hear what
please,
tips you have coming out of it and what you thought.
And there'll be a new float.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408, or even better, if you so desire, you can leave a message on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. We'll read it. We'll reply. We'll talk about it. It doesn't matter. You can get in touch with us any way you want. We'll get it. We'll talk about it because we love you.
Is that really better than leaving us a message?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's the same.
Because
we like voicemails. Actually, the best is a voicemail.
Yeah, it's okay.
Leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, because then the listeners have someone else
but,
to listen
no, but
to.
You know what? There's a flip side because the nice thing about posting a message is then other people often get involved too. That can't happen with a voicemail. What'd you say?
Both. Do both.
Do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we just take the voicemail and put it on the boards?
How do you put a voicemail on the boards?
Your little thing that automatically makes your voicemails text. Don't you have that service, Mr. Gadget Man?
That's with the different voicemail.
Oh, well, I tried.
Anyway.
I try.
That's the best Disney song since at least.
We should try. I'll say this later. Cut that out.
As always, before we bring this Laughing Place podcast to a close, I'd like to get a final word from our esteemed panel. Let's start with Fanboy.
Fanboy.
Oh, did you hear that Disney and SunCal have broken off negotiations?
I'm shocked.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And this stupid councilwoman was like, oh, well, I'm disappointed Disney decided not to continue negotiations. Wait, it takes two to tango, woman. It's...
Woo! That boy's getting fired up. Woo.
Wow.
Quick, pull out the banner so you can go march around the city.
I need to move to Anaheim so I can vote this woman out. This is not acceptable. She is a bad, bad councilwoman.
It's not acceptable.
Wow.
Dang, stay out of fanboy's way today.
Woo, he's fired up.
Yeah, Captain, if you dare speak after fanboy's
out. I know, those harsh, harsh words.
Wow.
Such venom.
Well, aren't we all excited just until Pirates Online finally gets finished? Count down the days.
Can't we just, like, put pirates hats on all those penguins and just say just it's Pirates it Online?
That'd be cool. We can do the pirate and penguin party.
Oh, don't give them any ideas.
Oh, seriously. That could actually happen.
Princess penguins and pirates.
A parade with all the Mary Poppins penguins, and then we'd have the Club Penguin penguins, and then, for some reason, the Happy Feet penguins.
So we'll see. With that, do you think that Disney would actually just make a penguin movie? Like Club Penguin the movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a new genre. You'll look up IMDb, penguin movie, western, whatever, drama, and penguin. I've got nothing.
Oh, you
really
had something. That was something. Rebecca Mosley.
So yesterday, I got to do yet another one of those magical little things. Not really magical, just unusual things that if it weren't for Disney, I wouldn't have done. And that was training camp. I went and saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers spring training? No, that's baseball. So they were, what is it? Is it just
training camp?
They don't give it a season?
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, summer training camp if you like, but they just call it training camp.
It was so hot out there. And I'm thinking, these guys are training to go play in the snow in New England and stuff, you know, during the season. It's hot right now, and when they go play, it's not going to be hot anymore in a lot of the cities that they're going to travel to, and they don't play in domes.
Well, who came
this
up with this system?
This strikes me as silly. I've decided the NFL is silly.
Really now?
Yes.
We'll see. Maybe it builds up endurance or something.
And then you told me that their record in December against against northern teams is bad.
Have you ever heard of home field advantage?
Well, I didn't think that snow should come into play that way, but yeah, so it was fun. It's not our training camp here is not nearly as exciting as other training camps. There wasn't any fights. There wasn't anybody arrested or under suspicion of anything inappropriate like
Pluto
that.
Fighting.
It was okay. Fun to watch and see the guys play. And I learned, whenever I go to training camp, I learn a little bit more about football because I don't know a lot about football. And it was fun to see the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators, if they're called coordinators, you know, yelling at their guys, running their routes. And
Rebecca?
Yeah?
Do you know anything about football?
What's the two-minute warning?
That's near the end of the – I know enough. That's near the end of the game when there's 2 minutes left and they have an automatic timeout.
Okay.
See? I know enough.
Don't forget to pump the gridiron challenge.
I will, but give me a moment. I wanted to say one more thing. And then the other thing that I noticed that I didn't realize they needed to do, which I should have, is they practiced kick returning and defending it. And the guys were, like, lined up in the wrong place, and the guy had to come out with his little clipboard and be like, no, you're supposed to be over here. See how Joe's over there? Well, you're supposed to be here. And, like, they have to pay attention to where they are in association with other people. So I thought that this was something they memorized. They go out there, they do it. I didn't really think about the fact that they would have to, you know, do it, and the guy would come out and say, no, you did it wrong. So, you know,
it's like a musical number.
Exactly.
It is, actually.
High School Musical 3.
I was surprised by how much, like, a stage play where you have to kind of block out what you do and stuff. I was surprised by that. But to hype what I'm getting to, we always sign up on ESPN. They have something called Pigskin Pick'em and then something called Gridiron Challenge or something along those lines. And I don't know if they've gone live yet. ESPN doesn't tend to put them up operational until, like, just before football season. But we'll post on the Laughing Place discussion boards. I'll post it in the podcast area. And we'll post the name of the LP group and the password to get in. And if you want to join in, we welcome anybody with any level of football knowledge. You can pick because you know, or you can pick because you think one team has better colors than the other one. We don't care. We welcome all Disney fans to show off their football knowledge or lack thereof. And in the one game, you pick a few players, and then you follow those each week to see how many points you get. It's kind of a dumbed-down version of fantasy football. And then the other one, the pigskin pick them. You simply pick a football team that you think will win the game each week. You go through all the games and you pick which one you think will win. So
for the record, I think I was in last time.
And proud of it.
And proud of it.
So I'll be posting
speaking
that.
Speaking of sports, they closed the Eagle Pines golf course in preparation for the Four Seasons.
Wow.
That's sad. The more I think about it, the less I like that.
All-Star is going to be closing soon, huh?
What's that?
All-Star Sports Cafe is going to be closing at the end of September, right?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was also sad to go there because nobody was there at all.
They're
going to
bring food. It's going to be quick service and more healthy options, which I think is great considering you've got athletes who are trying to grab a snack. Chili dogs is not exactly what you want in between your volleyball game.
Well, we're almost done here. As soon as we're done, we're heading off to Epcot to see one of the coolest sights, watching the space shuttle launch with Mission Space in the foreground, the space shuttle in the background. That should be pretty cool. So look for that on Laughing Place, assuming it actually does go off today. Before I close, I'd just like to say I have often dreamed of a far-off place where a hero's welcome would be waiting for me, where the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and a voice keeps saying, "This is where I'm meant to be." See you next week.
That's beautiful.